All right, whenever you're ready.
All righty. Here we are, episode 5.
Episode 4.
Oh, crap. Welcome to the Power Cycle Podcast. I am Jack Barron.
And I'm Mike Knowles.
And today, we're going to talk about our favorite pro gamer, Mike.
Me? Yeah. Oh, you shouldn't have.
But yes, seriously, I've been playing Overwatch. You obviously play Overwatch.
I love Overwatch.
We've been discussing it. Now, me and my friend, my roommate Jake, we got out of Overwatch for a while. We would play it with you a lot. Now we just got back into it because I downloaded it again. I was really bored one day.
I want to quote real quick. They're console plebs.
Yes, I'm sorry. We play on the Xbox, but we were playing it, and I was really thinking about Overwatch competitive, because mm-hmm. Overwatch didn't have that in the beginning. It just had quick play, am I right? Quick play?
Yep, it just had quick play.
Okay.
It was quick play, and then the practice range, and that's it.
Okay. So I was thinking about Overwatch competitive, and you know how that renewed my love in the game, and then I started thinking about esports in general, because I feel like that has definitely exploded over the last probably 3-4 years. Definitely my time at college, I've seen it go.
Definitely the biggest growth. Yeah. It's been growing for like 7 years, I would say. But like, yeah. I would say biggest boom lasts like since 2012, probably. Like
yeah.
4 years, I would say.
And I was just wondering, you know, what are your thoughts on esports? What is your thoughts on
competitive? My thoughts on esports? Maybe a jumping off point. I don't know exactly where you...
You know, so where did you kind of first think about it? I remember when I was younger, like 13, like 15, I was like, I remember looking up Call of Duty players, like Call of Duty. I wasn't aware of things like, I know StarCraft's been around. I know like Counter-Strike.
Oh no, that's right. Hold on. See, yeah. I'm one of the rare people who followed Command and Conquer competitive esports before I followed anything Call of Duty.
Okay, well, delve into that. What age was that at?
So like when I was growing up, one of the games I got into really early because my neighbor had it and I thought it was super cool. It's Age of Empires 2, one of the best games of all time. Calling it right now. There's a reason Microsoft doesn't release a new one and just releases DLC for a game that came out in 2000. They literally released DLC like 6 months ago, I think, and the game came out in 2000.
Oh,
like,
really? Oh.
The game is awesome. The game is so good. So it's one of the best RTSs. So then, from there, I jumped into Command & Conquer also, which is like another RTS game.
Yeah, Command & Conquer.
I forget what it was. I was getting ready for Command & Conquer 3 to come out. Tiberium Wars. And, so I went on the website to, like, pre-order and stuff like that, and I found out they had, like, a weekly, like, TV show that was, like, SportsCenter, but, like, for, like, all the Command & Conquer games, so Red Alert, Tiberium,
oh, really?
Okay. Et cetera. Yeah, and they just did, like, top 5 plays of the week, and, like, these are the matches for this week, and here's what happened in the tournament series. Like, it was really, really badass. I'll show you a video. It was super well done. Like, I fell in love with that.
And that was on their website?
Or? Yeah, that was on their website. Okay. They produced it themselves, and I was like, oh, that's super duper cool. Like, so, like, you know, like, I didn't really, like, watch the events or anything like that, but, like, I would watch that every week. And I'm like, this is awesome. Like, this is esports. I'm like, what? You know, so like from there, I was like, oh, that's cool. And then, you know, like I got into Call of Duty where like I knew the name of a few people because I would Google like YouTube videos on how to like get better at Call of Duty. But I never like, I still wasn't like watching events. I don't even really watch esports events today. Like I'll watch Overwatch a little bit now and then because I play competitive Overwatch because I want to like, you know, get some feels for things. But yeah, like I get why people like to watch like competitive like esports and stuff like that. It's a thing where it's like when you find your niche, right? Everyone finds a niche and they go into that. And to other people, you know, like you watch people like, are you a big chess guy?
I when I was younger, I mean, we played.
But right now, are you a big chess guy?
No.
Okay, cool. So like I was hoping you'd say that. So if you walk by, you know, let's say you're walking outside right now and there's like all of a sudden you pass by in the courtyard, it's like a giant like national chess tournament, right?
Sure.
And like, you're not interested in that, but you can stop and say, that's awesome. Like, you're that good at the game. You can appreciate the level of skill and sportsmanship.
I went to New York one time, and they were doing, I guess there's like a famous chess circle there. Like, an infamous era where people play chess.
Okay.
And I think, like, the homeless people play chess. Like, there's this whole big thing.
Yeah, they're like in the park. Yeah.
Yeah, and like, they have the timers, and you can play these people. And I had never played someone who is good at chess. I play people who know chess. Like, there's a difference between knowing chess, like how to play it, and like being good at chess.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
And like, this guy beat me in 5 turns. Like, it was astonishing. Like, he knew what I was doing before I did it.
Yeah, he had a name for what you were doing too.
Oh yeah, yeah. He's
like, oh, you were the creeping tortoise.
Yeah, and he was like, oh, like here, and he put all the pieces back. He's like, let me show you what you did wrong. He like did it over again. And he's like, here's what you should have done. And it was just shocking to see someone who understood the game so much. And
right. So then you get into something you care about. So like now you're a gamer.
Yeah.
Well, and let's say, you know, you're watching Overwatch and you're like, I love playing Overwatch. I think I'm really good at Overwatch, or I enjoy playing high level Overwatch. And then you get to watch these people who are like at the penultimate skill level, and then you get really into that. So like, this is something I care about. This is something I invest myself out. And it's like the same way kids get into sports. Like kids play sports at school, and then they're like, oh, let me watch these people on TV playing sports because I want to, like, I wish I was that good, or I want to be that good. It's like the same thing, basically. So yeah, esports is that really cool thing where like it's now getting a lot of traction, a lot of money's being pumped into it, and I think really the biggest indicator, obviously, is ESPN has an esports section now.
And that's what I was getting into. Is, you know, I remember when I was younger, I was never into sports. You know, I played them, but you know, I know people who
you enjoyed playing it to play it, yeah, not for competitive.
Like I know my roommate, he wakes up in the morning and he'll turn on. Like, I remember living in my apartment last year where, you know, every morning I woke up to SportsCenter on because my three roommates love SportsCenter.
I did too, because my little brother loves SportsCenter.
But they'll watch it all morning. Like, you'll be on, they'll watch all of it. They'll sit down to talk about it, and I never got it. You know, and my joke to them was, you know, because one of my roommates is a big sports guy. He wants to work at ESPN one day. It's his dream. And I always tease them. I say, I'll be on ESPN before you are. And he goes, why? I'm telling you, esports is coming up. And like they have a bunch of people lined up to talk about football. I'm like, if you can't talk Overwatch, I'm going to go in there. You know, I'm going to make my way on the SportsCenter. And I remember them laughing and saying, no way. And then they check the ESPN Snapchat. And all you see is League of Legends, like this update on the League of Legends tournament.
Right, yeah.
And they're like calling me like, oh my God, like you were right. Okay. But that's what I'm saying. When I was younger, I remember watching sports and I was going like, wow, wouldn't it be interesting like to see some like video games on there? Like, yeah. And like, I did game battles on Halo 3, for those who don't remember game battles is that was a website where you make a team, you put your gamer tags in there and like you actually set up leagues against other people. And like, you'd be like, okay, 6 o'clock, we're all meeting on this game, this is what we're doing. And like, yeah, you almost had to do it yourself. But the website kept track. And I did that for Left 4 Dead. I did that for Griffball, Halo 3. I did that.
Love it, love it.
I did that for Call of Duty. I did it for all of it. And it was definitely, it was this experience of it almost made the game more fun because it gave it this new layer. You know, like, and I think that's what happened with Overwatch is I grew bored of it because I was like, ugh. Like, it's just a quick play. I'm just ranking up. What am I doing? What am I keeping track of? And they put in competitive, and I said, oh, wait, hold on a second. Now, this is what the game was missing. Like, this is giving me something to work. Because I'm sitting there, and my roommate is, like, a 1900 on it. And he'll scream when he loses because he'll go down. Or he'll be elated when it goes up. And I think, to me, that's what I like about competitive gaming in general. Is because I think as we get older, you know, we do play games for fun. We play – like, I was playing Titanfall 2, and I was like, oh, like, I got it for the free weekend. And I was like, what am I playing this for? Like – because to me, I think multiplayer games have not lost their luster to me, but they're, you know, I'm no longer just, you know, when I played Modern Warfare 2, when I got a rank up, that's all I needed.
Yeah.
You know, I got that big, like, the guitar riff.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah.
That's not Call of Duty.
But you get that, and that's what I remember. I tell my friends this. I go, I can't play a multiplayer game if there's no ranking up system. Like, if there's no leveling up, like, if you just play it for fun and you get nothing out of it, like, I can't do it. I found it. Yes.
Oh, that sound.
Yeah, I got that, I was like, okay, this is why I'm playing this. I want to get stuff. And, you know, and I think that's what was wrong with Titanfall 1.
After this.
What is it? Oh, jeez.
He hasn't made one. If people that don't, because I can't see my screen, Tom's going to just upload an ASDF movie 10. And I don't know when 9 came out, but it was like forever ago. So I'm hype. Anyway, sorry. Back on this.
But that's what I was saying is, it's, I need that, why am I playing? And I think that's what I'm liking about this competitive gaming is, and especially with Overwatch, is I now have this almost this layer of, like, when I'm playing Overwatch, I'm good at it. I like looking at the screen and understanding what is going on.
Right.
And competitive forces me to do that. By, like, okay, like, team composition to, like, understanding what character counters what character. It makes this game not just a game. You're sitting there and you're going, okay, I'm learning. I'm forcing myself.
It's more engaging.
More engaging. And, you know, to make this to a bigger topic is, where do you want competitive gaming to go? Do you want it to keep going up? Or
absolutely. Okay. There's no reason why competitive gaming shouldn't go up. Like, I mean, what's the downside? The downside is, like, gaming gets less popular. If competitive gaming goes up, gaming gets more popular and more money goes into the gaming industry. Like, that's all good. I mean, sure. Doesn't mean you're going to have a bunch of, like, developers that aren't, like, I'm not talking, like, Ubisoft and people like that. But you have, like, a bunch of other developers focusing on trying to make the next tournament game. Absolutely. And, you know, there'll be, like, I mean, I would say there's already a garbage heap of competitive games or multiplayer games that don't need to exist because of the multiplayer Call of Duty boom, sure. But, like, you'll have a bigger boom on that. I mean, and that's fine. It's not a big deal. But, like, yeah, in the general, there's nothing wrong with that. It boosts the game industry. It boosts coverage of the game industry. It boosts transparency in the game industry. And it just forwards everything to making it grow. And I don't see any problem with that.
And where do you think, like, I don't know, could you imagine a day where you wake up and you turn on SportsCenter and right under baseball, you see Overwatch underneath?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And you think it'll reach that point?
Yeah, I mean, like, we already typically have it this day. I mean, you just go on Twitch, like.
Exactly. I mean, to me, Twitch is, like, Twitch to me is a, like, everyone on Twitch is kind of.
But think of it this way, right? So,
the same,
like,
people go on Twitch. It's an audience.
Right, but think about this, though. Like, think about how many people go on Twitch to do that already, right?
Oh, I checked the Counter-Strike one. I think there might have been 30,000, 50,000 people watching it live.
Right.
And that's live. And that's, like, on their computer, not, like, on TV where, you know, that.
Yeah, or on, like, their Xbox or whatever.
Yeah.
But, yeah. And those people are people that, like, are already really in the competitive game, right? Like,
yeah.
Like, most people who are into competitive gaming are really in the competitive gaming. Like, they know stats, they know players, they know all this stuff. I mean, there's a few people, like you know, because Twitch has a huge audience. They'll, like, see it on the front page, and they'll check in. They'll be like, oh, it's interesting, I'll watch it for a bit. But most of those people are really into it. Think about how many casual sports fans watch SportsCenter.
Yeah.
So now think about if it was on TV, how many people would actually be watching it? Like, it'd be, like, infinitely, like, multiplied by what it is on Twitch right now. And that's what I'm saying. Like, the numbers for on Twitch that are just people who have to seek it out themselves is so large that if you just threw it in front of a mass audience, like, it would do great. It would do absolutely phenomenal.
And I know people, like, Terry Crews is a huge advocate who was, like, you know, he.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of, like, quote unquote real sports athletes, like football players, basketball players, they're buying esports teams.
They are, yes. And I know India just had, I looked up this morning, they have a league called UCypher, and, like, they're putting this on TV, they're starting teams, and it's for Dota, I believe. But, you know, for games like League and games like Dota and Overwatch, you know, do you think that there is a mold that, because a lot of competitive games, like, you know, Dota and the MOBA industry is, like, I think, the biggest one.
Yeah.
Besides StarCraft and other areas. So what do you think certain genres of games are made for competitive?
Like, I think all games are made for competitive. I mean,
could you see need for, like, you know, racing games going competitive?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, okay. Like, I can tell you right now, in Dubai, like, literally right now, started yesterday, there's a huge Smash Bros. Tournament going on.
Okay.
My boy Phil Visu, Double E, he's over there right now. He's like, a semi-professional Smash commentator. He got invited because he's, like, a celebrity. And, like, that's a huge thing. He got flown out to Dubai to play Smash Brothers.
That's pretty wild.
And he got it streamed on Twitch. Like, that's crazy. Like, that's how big this is. It goes across all communities. There's a fighting community. And, like, the best part about it is that, like, it isn't just, like, you're an esports gamer. You're all, like, one fan. Like, it's just like any other sports. You have, like, your, like, little groups. Like, a football fan is not the same as a hockey fan. They don't know the same things. They don't act the same way. So there's the fighting fans. There's the FPS fans. There's the MOBA fans. There's the RTS fans. And it's so diverse. And there's so many things you can learn or experience from, like, going to different events like this. I mean, like, and even general, that's, like, I mean, like, another argument for this, how big, like, esports or, like, non-traditional sports are that are, like, an entertainment thing, is, like, we both play Magic.
Yes.
We watch the Pro Tour. We watch the Grand Prix. We watch Star City Games Opens. Like, I like, back in high school where I have infinite time on the weekends, I would literally just throw it up on my Xbox, on my TV, and be on all day while I'm in the basement doing homework and shit.
I remember that. When I first started to go to Magic for a little bit, I remember when I first turned on, I didn't know what Twitch was until I started playing Magic. I had no idea what Twitch was.
I kind of knew what it was, but, like, basically on the same thing. I wasn't, like, invested in it.
And I looked it up, and I was like, what is this? My friend was showing me it. He goes, oh, this is the Pro Tour. Like, we had just started playing. I was like, wow, this game is so fun. And, like, I even thought to myself, like, could you imagine, like, playing this, like, for a real tournament? Like, how crazy that would be besides FNM. And he goes, yeah, look at this. And they're like, in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Like, commentators, suits. And I was like, what are we watching?
Yeah.
Like, what crazy. What is this? And it, and I went on Twitch.
I mean, and the old one was on ESPN, but back then ESPN was like way smaller.
And I remember, there's that. And when I go on Twitch, I'll turn on, I'll turn on random games just to see what their competitive is like.
Yeah.
And it's very funny, to see the competitive. Like, basically everyone copies, like, the ESPN. Because, like, I think I would watch...
That's a standard. That's why.
But I think it's really interesting to watch, because I would watch esports if a guy was wearing a hoodie and commentating it.
Yeah.
But they are in suits. They are...
Well, I mean, ESPN copying the news. Like, it's a production, like, based thing.
But I do like how, like, I love watching Magic, because I think what's really fun is, and what I love about the community in general, is we know it may just be games. Like, we're not, you know, it's not athleticism. It's not like we're jumping over tall buildings.
It's skill.
But it is a skill, and I think it's really cool that the community.
Real quick, over the last couple of days do you keep going through jumps over a tall building? That's like giving your go to. Like, we've had a discussion about this like three times. You keep using the metaphor, like, leaps over a building, jumps over a building. He's like, what's with you and jumping over buildings these last week?
I don't know. Usually I have jumping over a building and like hitting someone with a brick. Like,
all right. Yeah, I mean, the brick one. Yeah.
The brick one is.
But that's realistic. Yeah. Like,
but. I think it's really fun to see that we take it seriously, and like, and I guess I'm wondering as well, how do you get someone who isn't into gaming, someone who maybe, because again, I think the issue with football is people who even don't like sports know what football is, like, but the issue is people who don't know gaming do not know gaming. Like, if I go, ooh, Overwatch.
That's what I'm saying.
They go, what the heck is Overwatch?
You put it on ESPN where, like, a lot of people just tune in, and, like, you'll get that audience. Like, I swear to you. Like, so many casual people watch. Like, the internet, the thing about the internet is that you need specifics. Unless you're, like, unless you explode. Like, PewDiePie has a casual audience because he just got so big and then grew infinitesimally through how big he was.
Yes.
YouTube. Everyone knows YouTube is a video platform because it got big and went so big. But, like, Twitch is smaller than YouTube, and Twitch has, like, a niche audience. So you have to seek out gaming-specific content or, like, high production of, like, a certain game to find Twitch and then to find those broadcasts. So what I'm saying is, if you give them the platform like ESPN and you treat it properly, like they put Heroes of the Dorm, which is Blizzard's
Heroes
college.
Of the, Heroes of the oh
yeah, yeah it's
oh,
a college tournament.
I thought you said it wrong.
It's called Heroes of the Dorm. Okay. They always stream the semi. I don't know if it's the quarterfinals, but I know the semifinals and the grand finals are broadcast on ESPN every year, and like that's the thing they do, and like that gets really good views. But like people can't. And it would get more views if it was at the earlier stages with, like, commentators that were explaining the game properly. Because, like, if someone randomly puts on, it's like, here's the Heroes of the Storm world champ, like, national champion, college championships. Like people, some people just get scared off by that because they don't understand it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you need the smaller level events and coverage.
And I think that's the bigger issue, I think, with gaming, Magic. Like, I think our hobbies as a whole in the nerd and geek community as a whole is, I think our stuff isn't complicated. I think it just sounds
I mean, like, there's a barrier to entry to everything.
Yeah, because I think the difference is, like, with sports, I think there's just the innate cultural, like, baseball, football are just in the culture.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And but, like, if I say, like, I throw the baseball and you have to hit it and then you run, that's very simple.
Yeah,
because it's the words are easy because everyone knows them. But if I go, okay, you're Winston, and you have to go capture the point.
Yeah.
You have to use your abilities. It's not hard. It's just capture the point. It's very simple. But
there's layers.
I think it's the language. Like, that's my thing with Magic. Is Magic isn't complicated. It's just it just uses words.
Magic's a little complicated.
But, I think at the base level.
Yeah. Oh, sure. At the base level, sure.
And it's not hard. That's why I said the hardest thing about it is just telling someone. It's you don't use the word goblin. You don't use the word witch in your daily language. And so when you're, I'm going to attack you with my, you know, hexproof crater hoof, you know, this whole whatever. And people just go, okay, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, what the heck? And I think that's the difference with.
Or like Alpha game. Strike.
Yeah. Like what the gaming community is when you're watching it, it's.
Poke phase.
Yeah. It's very easy to get what's going on, but it's the language. If I turn on Overwatch, people will get what's going on, but they're like, okay, wait, who is this Tracer person? Who is this? Who is that?
They'll understand what they're watching, but they won't feel like they're in on it.
Yeah. And so what kind of, like, do you think Overwatch is that game that will get people more involved?
I think so. I think the fact that it also has different layers of different people, like, the story layer is really there, the art layer is really there, the gameplay is really there. I think it really can appeal to a lot of players. Like, here's one thing I learned about recently while I was doing some, just some talking with people there in the gaming community. Is that a lot of fans of, like, competitive esports aren't even as much, and of Overwatch specifically, actually, and players of Overwatch aren't traditional gamers, but they're like artists. Like, people like love to like people who are like on Tumblr making art. They love to watch these events and stuff like that.
Yeah,
or, like,
we talk about
or
that
play the game
first
in general.
Episode. Yeah,
yeah.
And I guess so. Overwatch may be that game. So do you think? So obviously the gaming community, we want to get into the general populace.
Yeah.
We want people to get into it. And so I guess with just putting on the issue, how do we get people more involved? You know, what how do you get someone who has never, like, let's say someone's listening, they go, okay, I want to show my friend a competitive game. I want him to sit down and be it. How do you get someone to do? How would you go about introducing someone to?
I mean, the first thing is just general knowledge. You have to have people who, like, are knowledgeable within, like, the own sphere. So, like, the reason baseball or sports are easy to pick up is because you have so many people that already know it that it's really easy to find someone to explain baseball to you. It's really easy to find someone to explain football to you. And it's accepted in culture to be talking about that in a random, like, conversation with people. So it's easier to, like, get into that. Whereas, like, there's less people who play, like, because gamings are so different, like, you have different games. It's not just competitive gaming. You have to, like, for Overwatch, you have to find someone who plays Overwatch who also wants to talk about it in their daily life. But then without, like, they're not going to just be randomly talking about it unless they're in a group of people. So you have to find those people without them actually just talking about it. Whereas, like, you can walk down the street, you'll probably hear someone talking about football. Like,
that's true. I mean, I remember we, on our very first video ever, throwback, you know, we brought Gabby in and she was just in the room watching us play. And, you know, it kind of goes back to this language thing again, where it's easy, I'm shooting people in Halo, but she's also like, wait a minute, you're this Spartan, you're this aliens. Like, I know my friend Colin, who you've met a few times, he'll watch me play Dark Souls, he'll watch me play all these games, and he'll just sit there and watch. He's like, I don't get what's going on, this is so confusing, but I think he gets very intrigued by watching someone who is good at it. Like, he started his own game in Skyrim, we just put him on it, we just gave it to him, like, here, just play it.
Right.
And within an hour, he was just sitting there, just playing it. He had no idea what he was doing. He didn't, like, get the game. But what's nice is we just put him on it. We let him do what he wants, and he was loving it. And I think that's how with competitive gaming and gaming in general is to introduce someone to it. Like, I wouldn't put someone on Overwatch first. Maybe I would put them on, maybe I guess that is a pretty simple. Would you put someone on Overwatch as their first game?
You know what? That's an interesting question, actually.
I feel like Overwatch might be
a lot,
but maybe not. I don't know. I feel like it's a lot. Because there's a lot of, like, you do a lot of selection, a lot of, like,
so,
buttons.
I feel like Overwatch has a low barrier to fun.
Yes.
Like, it's like Smash Bros. Like, I mean, it's Chris and a lot on the podcast. But it's easy to play, in the sense it's easy to play it and have a good time, and it's hard to master when you want to go deep. So, yeah, I'd be okay giving someone Overwatch as their first game, to be honest, compared to other FPSs.
Yeah.
I mean, Call of Duty is a little bit more boiled down, but it's a different game entirely, like, compared to Overwatch.
Yes,
I
agree.
So, yeah, I mean, yeah, I would say yes. I would say yes.
Okay, that was wondering, because I know, because I think Smash Bros. Is the perfect example where, because I think we had talked about Smash Bros. A few times on this podcast, is when you play it, you don't really have to know what's going on. It's just fun to be these characters in general. And it's the game, yeah, I think it's just designed with fun in mind. And I think that's even more so. So if competitive gaming makes it into the, you know, mainstream, it's
right
on ESPN, you know, what do game developers do then when they're making a game? Like, do you sit down and you go, okay, I'm making a multiplayer game. Do you try and make it competitive? Because I think
mainly it forces the bar to be raised. I think you have to make a better game.
A lot of these games that are competitive weren't made with competitive in mind, I mean, I think the community kind of, like, I don't think Halo.
Some of them. Like, Smash Brothers wasn't.
Yes, and the
community. But, like, Overwatch, they did have a plan for it to be that.
Okay. And I think that's, so, and I think you can see that in Overwatch's design.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, but you, in Smash Brothers, you know, I remember hearing about Meta Knight being completely broken, completely, like, very.
Right,
because
they don't care about that. They just want to make a fun game.
So, do you think games, if it's in the mainstream, will say, do you think that make a distinction? And, like, where do you see?
I just think the quality of the game goes up, to be honest.
Okay.
I mean, like, we were playing Naruto last night, and, like, there was obviously characters that were, like, way better than others. Not that, like, some of them were unplayable, but, like there were interactions and things that were, like, way too good that we discovered, like, even though we were playing on random, and, like, that's a thing that it's, like, we enjoyed that game because it was so over the top, but, like, if I was a competitive gamer, I'd be like, no, this is, no, like, this game is so unbalanced, I don't want to play this. And then they would have to be like, oh, shit, well, all these players need to be good, so, like,
okay.
You have to balance that. Like, I think it just enforces better game design.
That's true, but, I mean, do you think as well that Naruto, half the fun of that Naruto game we were playing.
It is, but not if you're a competitive player.
That's true.
That's what I'm saying. So you have to, if you're making it for competitive players, it's going to be a better tuned game.
Okay, so do you think, so developers will have to make that distinction.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do I want this competitive environment around this game? Like, Rainbow Six Siege is very clear.
What is this game to me? Like, that's the question. What is this game to me as a developer? Who do I envision playing this game?
Yeah, because Rainbow Six Siege is another perfect example of a game that is completely, like, I was playing it, I'm like, okay, this game is completely designed with competitive in mind. Like, there's clear counters, there's clear back and forth. And I think, as well, I think that's what you see in Magic as well, because we play that, is this design of, it's interesting, because I think you're right, what's this better design? Because I think Magic is a very popular game, simply because it is designed with competitive in mind. It is,
yes,
so I have to build, I have to make sure that everyone plays correctly, everyone has a fun time while playing, and that's how I feel. I think that's a very good. I like how you said that. I didn't think about it like that. Or you, it forces you to make a better game.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which I think is.
I mean, not necessarily a better game, but it forces you to think more about your design decisions and make sure that, like, every decision you're making is a correct one for that line of play.
That's it, because instead of being like, wow, this character is so much.
It's like playing a competitive game. Making a competitive game is like playing a competitive game. In a competitive game, if your opponent, like, we're talking Overwatch here, and your opponents are all grouping up behind with, like, triple tank, you maybe want to grab, like, a Reaper to, like, disrupt that and, like, get in from behind. And you want to make sure that you're making the right decision for that player base. So, like, when you're designing the game, if you say you want to be a competitive game, you can't have, like, someone running around as fucking Sasuke with Susanoo armor when everyone else just has a dog next to them.
Yeah,
like,
and I think as well, it's when, because I think you describing the event and that gameplay in Overwatch, like, okay, you're behind this person, you're doing all this. And I know my roommate's girlfriend, she'll watch us play, and she just goes, okay, like, this is, like, why do you play? This is dumb. And I think that what that describes it perfectly is when you're in that moment of, because I remember playing with you the first time on Xbox, we had the six of us playing, I think that, like, that wasn't just Overwatch being fun, because we talked about it in the first episode where we talked about Overwatch in general, is that was fun because we were making plans. We were reacting to what was going on. We were using our minds, using our skills. We were like, okay, what's happening? And that, to me, is what made it so much more fun. I don't even know if that was in competitive. That might have been before competitive.
That was competitive.
That was?
Okay. Yeah, that was competitive.
Okay.
Because you guys got placed at the end of that.
Okay.
You guys weren't placed yet.
Okay.
Or some of you weren't.
Okay. And, like, that was, I remember that was being so much fun because there are tangible consequences to what happened. If you won, you go up. And I think that's also what's so nice about it. And I think competitive in general is, I think for a while there's this frustration in gaming where you're like, okay, I am very good, but I'm going to be with bad people.
Right.
But as you rank up in competitive, everyone gets better. And therefore you get better. And therefore you have more fun because you are getting better. And I think that's what I like about competitive gaming in general, is it forces me to get better. It brings back why I liked playing in the first place, which is I love wrecking people who suck.
All right, so we need to put a pin on this topic.
Sure.
Let's first with you, like, what is it that really makes you think that esports will succeed? Going back to, like, the overall theme. Or what is it that got you to believe in it, at least?
I think Overwatch competitive really made me think about it. And I think also in general, watching, just playing the Magic the Gathering and just getting into that competitive scene first a year ago, 2 years ago, and then going on Twitch and seeing all these different games and seeing, like, Counter-Strike, seeing all this stuff, I said, okay, this is going to... And then watching League, like, that, I remember watching this League tournament, and there was, like, a million people there. I said, oh, my God. I'm like, this is it. This is happening. Like, that's
didn't Mark go to one, too?
Yeah, I think
Mark went to one, yeah.
Yeah, I remember seeing a picture of this.
He went to a semifinals in New York. He didn't go to the finals.
Yeah, I remember seeing a picture, like, online, like, on Reddit, and I said, oh, man. Like, we're coming. Like, this is it. Yeah, we're coming. How about you?
Okay, so for me, I'm gonna set a scene for you guys.
Sure.
So this is also when I got into Magic. Before I was strictly playing Yu-Gi-Oh, this is where I realized, like, I want to play Magic. So let me set a scene. We're going to fade to black here. We're going to set a scene. The year is 2013. It's August. Mike Knowles randomly turns on Twitch just to, like, randomly go on because he's just discovered Twitch recently. Front page of Twitch. The World Magic Championships. Mike's like, oh, Magic, that's pretty cool. I'll click on that. It's a card game. Cool, check it out. It's the World Championships. So, watches a semifinals match. All right. It's modern. A little bit complicated. So, like, Mike, as someone that doesn't play Magic entirely, doesn't quite understand. Because for those you don't know, modern is super complicated compared to base Magic. When I get started on Legacy. semifinals wraps up. They go to the booth, and I'm like, oh, that's really cool. Guys in suits. They're prepared. They have graphics. Like, oh, man, this is really cool. Like, as, you know, budding production student. I'm like, all right, well, I'm just doing homework, so I'll just leave this on. Seems pretty interesting. Grand Finals comes on. Reed Duke versus Shahar Shenhar.
Ah.
Reed Duke, at the time, I don't know what his ranking was at the time, because I think they didn't start them entirely yet, but after that event, he was ranked number 5 in the world.
Okay.
In the world. I guess Shenhar Shenhar, as far as everyone knew, basically a nobody. Shahar goes onto the ropes and then brings back to win the entire world championship after being on the fence of losing. Mm-hmm. He couldn't drop a single game, and he won at least 2, maybe 3. That's crazy. Like, everyone in the booth's going crazy. The people in the audience are going crazy. I'm going crazy. And I'm not even invested in this because it's an underdog story of a big upset. And in that moment, I realized, like, this is sports. Like, this is what people watch sports for. This totally is a sport.
Yes. I can't remember one that I was watching at the moment, but I agree. I think I'm not invested in sports. I didn't get it until I started watching, like, Magic tournaments, which is, you know, we're diverging from gaming a bit, but I think that's
no, Magic is gaming,
but we're both in that same boat where that introduced us to and to each other, by the way. Nudge
that's another story.
That's how we met, but that's the thing. It's I understood. I watched that. I remember watching Counter-Strike one day in London. I was like, I've turned it on for 3 seconds. I was like, all right, here it is, to the match. And this guy is commentating everything that's going on. There's, like, stats, there's things going. I was just sitting there. I'm like, I don't get what's going on, but I'm invested in it. Yeah. Already. I'm immediately invested
in this guy who's invested in it.
Yeah, I'm immediately, yeah, and that's it. I think that's what, that was what was missing for so long, was people who are invested in the community, taking the time to make these over-the-top productions, make these actual production quality things for games. And I think that's what I think finally brought it in, is these people taking it seriously. And I think that's what we're seeing now, is people are taking the not only the art form seriously, but the skills in the game seriously. And I think that's what's making it so popular and so good.
Cool. Well, that's a good first topic there. Agreed. They wrapped up real nicely. So yeah, so my topic for today starts over on CNN.com. GameStop to shut 100+ stores.
What? Really?
Yes. Yeah, so, okay. Apparently, there are going to be as many as 190 stores are possibly getting cut. GameStop reported a huge revenue decline over the holiday season of this year, which we'll get into our broader topic. And it's now going to be cutting people because of it. The store itself, the GameStop, has more than 6,600 global stores and 4,400 of those in the United States. It's really crazy, the fact that, like, the holiday season with the PS Pro release and all those games, like, made them had a decline. I'm looking for the exact stats. Their stock has plummeted 31% in the last year also, which is not great. The sales fell 13.6% the last quarter compared to the last fourth quarter. So holiday 2015 was 13.6% higher than holiday 2016.
What? That's pretty wild.
It's really high. Like I can see a pseudo loss maybe, because the year before was, like, the first year the consoles were really ramping up. But, like, that's a huge difference.
That is a lot.
Especially, like, Pokemon being out and stuff like that, like, this year.
I mean, I have never seen articles of, like, GameStop. I haven't even seen a GameStop close. I think I've seen one GameStop. Like, every GameStop I've ever been to is still around.
GameStop is, like, GameStop is, like, the Radio Shack of the game industry. Yeah. You don't know why they're still there, but they're there.
But, I mean, like, I wouldn't... That's where... Like, not anymore, but, like, I remember that's where else would you buy games? Like, there, no, like, there.
I bought games like Toys R Us.
I mean, yeah, okay, I went to Toys R Us, yeah. But, I mean, GameStop was nice because of the, like, they
were knowledgeable.
Yeah, it was a game store.
And they were like, everything was out and in front, and, like, you could just, like, touch and feel, and there was demos, too, and stuff.
Yeah, but I think, also, you mentioned, so, why do you think this is? I mean, like, we were talking.
So here's my overall topic. Sure. Here, is I want to talk the slow decline, or possible slow decline, because there's another thing I want to reference to here that's going to be coming later.
Sure.
Is the switch, the slow, inevitable, because it is inevitable, switch from physical media to digital media in the games industry.
Ooh.
And your opinion on the current state and what where it's going to go. So a lot of people, you know, PC market has for a long time now been done with physical CDs. You just buy everything on Steam now, or if not from Steam, you buy somewhere else.
I think Steam just murdered the...
I mean, they did it right.
I remember when Steam, I can't even, I remember when Steam came out. What year was Steam?
I think it was when or before Half-Life 2 came out. Because I remember hearing stories that the only way to play Half-Life 2 was to download Steam back when it was broken. It wasn't the Steam you know now, though. It was back when it was just a Valve client.
Yeah, but Steam to me is just... I think that just blew everything out of the water. I think that was a big issue with PCs in general for a while, is you couldn't buy... There was no central area to buy. You had to, buy the box, or you had to go to the website. I don't PC, so I'm not entirely sure.
But I don't PC.
Yeah, I don't. That's how you know I'm the worst.
I hate women. I'm dope PC.
but I think that's what consoles had over the PC for a while, was you just go to the store, you grab your console game, you go home, that was it.
And you put it in. And
put it in, and you're ready to rock.
Well, not anymore. Now there's an 8 gigabyte upload or download every time.
And that, I think, is the other issue, is I remember when I bought a game, you look at the back of the box, there was this two-paragraph long thing. It told you everything the game did, all the new features. You're like, oh, man, look at the back of the box. It's so cool. And I remember opening the box. Grab the instruction booklet, first page, here's the whole story of the universe, flip over. I remember reading the Halo instruction booklet for fun.
Oh, yes. Good old days.
It was 50 pages. And it wasn't 50 pages of, tech. Oh, this is what the game does, yada, warranty, yada, yada, yada. It was here's the universe, flip. Here's every character.
Flip.
Yeah, not only that, they had the name of the gun, every statistic about it. I was like, flip, flip, flip. I'm going through it. And that's how I got better at the game. It's I would play with my friends, and they would go, Jack, why are you good? That was a joke of my childhood. Is if I got beat in a game, I would go home, get the instruction booklet out, and just read it. Read over the entire instruction booklet and figure out everything I need to know about the game. And I would go to my friend's house the next day and whoop his butt in it. And he'd be like, hey, why are you so good? I'm like, I read the instruction booklet. I sat down and learned everything about the game. And that, to me, is why I think why would I go to the store when I could just download on Xbox? That's also part of it. But I think as well is, I remember instruction booklets. If you get an Xbox game now, the instruction booklet is not even, it's a pamphlet. It's a piece of paper. It says, here's the game. And that's part of it. The luster and the fun of getting a game. I like having game boxes. I like having the game.
Yeah, I'm an art guy, so I'm into that.
I love having, a gaming collection that's tangible, I can look at, I have a little stack. I like that. I personally love that. And even more so, I like, because now on the Xbox One, you can only have, it's 250 gigabytes of storage, and a game is 85 gigabytes. I have 5 games now. I have to download another one. A
lot of numbers that are wrong there, but
yeah, whatever. Just. Yes. But I think that's what's part of it is, it's just, why would I go to the store? And that's what GameStop is. Why would I go to GameStop? And when I can just download it on the marketplace. And even when I buy the disc, I can't even just put it in and play it. I have to download it anyway. And so, why am I even getting the disc? That's why.
And you can just get off Amazon Prime, get it the day of release, and get 10% off, $10 off.
I think that's the thing. What is GameStop doing that is making me want to go there and buy it? And what is Microsoft doing to make you want to buy their discs? What is Sony doing? There's nothing. Here, yes, go buy a disc that you have to install anyway. You have to sit there. So I'm going to spend 20 minutes driving there. I'm going to spend an hour installing it. I'm going to say, why did I even drive there to begin with? And I think that's what, but I think you're seeing that with movies in general. When's the last time you bought a movie? A DVD? Well, you might buy.
I'm gonna buy La La Land. I need to get around to that. Yeah, but yeah, I get it.
But I mean, I don't even buy movies anymore. On demand, when I can just go online, either A, watch it for free somewhere, or B, or B, go on Netflix. And I think that's what Netflix is. Netflix killed Blockbuster because why would I? A, they deliver to your door first.
Yeah.
And then now it's streaming, and I think the same thing's gonna happen with games. I wouldn't be surprised if games. I'm sure some games do it. With streaming, you don't have to buy a game anymore. You subscribe.
Oh, yeah.
EA Access. EA Access.
EA Access. Yeah. PlayStation. No, EA Access isn't that. You download.
You download. But what I'm saying is EA Access is a good
Gamefly. No, not Gamefly. Gamefly used to do that thing. And then PlayStation's current. I don't have PlayStation, but PlayStation's current, I think it's called PlayStation Now, whatever lets you play their older games online,
yeah,
that is a stream service. You don't download it. Oh, you just stream play, it from a server.
You just play
that's what I've been told.
But that's what I'm saying is, it's, you know, GameStop, I thought, and I don't, again, I haven't been in GameStop in years. Like, I have a friend that works there, but I think GameStop kind of has to do what Blockbuster didn't and, you know, change what it's doing. GameStop can't just sell games. Like, what can GameStop do that...
Give you really shit trading prices?
That too! Like,
GameStop taught me to be an entrepreneur because I realized how much I was getting ripped off, so then I just started buying people's games and selling them back to other kids at real prices.
Was it always like that? I feel like when I was a kid, I got better deals. Maybe I was just a kid.
Just any money's money when you're a kid.
Yeah, like, I remember...
They're not always ripping you off. Like, they're not always ripping you off. We have to understand from their perspective how things work and stuff like that.
I feel like now it is
Mario definitely. Games are always a shit. You will always get a good price on a Mario game you bring in.
I remember trading in games when I was, like, younger and walking in there and being like, okay, like, here's three games, and I got a new one. And, like, that's how I bought games for years. I just trade them in
and get one.
But now I walk in, like, I remember calling game. I went to do that. I was, like, 2 years ago. I called them. I said, hey, GameStop, I want to buy some game. Like, I don't know what I want to buy. I want to buy something. I call them. I have 5 games on Xbox One. Like, Xbox One had been out for, like, a year at that point.
You know they have a website that just tells you how much they'll pay, right?
No, I like calling GameStop.
All right.
Okay, I like talking
to people. Talking to bad employees. Yeah. Got it.
So I call them, and I go, I have 5 games. How much am I going to get for it? I read the games off, and so obviously I need $60. And he goes, okay, yeah, that's great, 5 games. So I'll give you... $15 for those? I said.
What were the games? Do you have any idea?
I know one was, I think, Batman, Arkham. What's the third one? Arkham City? No, what the heck am I saying?
That one sold. Arkham Knight. That one was sold terribly.
Yeah, so Arkham Knight.
It was just buggy. That game was bad.
I think Battlefield.
Which one? And what year?
I think Battlefield.
Like, 4. Was it like already a year old? Like, was it already?
I mean, I'll admit they were not new games. Like, they were old games.
Well, like, was it already iteration old to Battlefield? Because then that decreases the price.
Yeah. Like, I think it was Battlefield 4.
And Battlefield Hardline or Battlefield, the new Battlefield.
No, not Hardline. But I had these old Xbox games. Like, I think I had Wolfenstein on the trade-in. Like,
yeah, that's why.
Yeah. I agree.
$15 still seems a little low.
Yeah, but. it was obnoxious. I wasn't expecting 60. I was like, okay, man, I would get like $30.
Yeah.
And like, I'll go spend $30 on a new game. Whatever, fine. Because, yeah, I'll give you 15. I hung up the phone. I didn't even answer. I just hung up. And I was like, that's why I didn't go. Like, what are you, like, if GameStop's going to offer trade-in, like, I know they give you some good deals. Like, I remember I traded in a Wii, and I got, like, that was when Wii first came out. I was like, I paid $250, I got like $220 for it, because, like, they're just trying to get, you know, people in the door to buy Wiis. But as I'm saying, I think GameStop is just, I think GameStop's now Blockbuster and Radio Shack. It's just, they're not adapting to the changing market. And I think physical media, that's all I'm afraid of. I'm afraid of physical media, I think, going away in general, because I think there's something a little scary about that. Like, a little. Like, you know,
even though the demise of physical media would mean that you would obviously get a price decrease,
yes,
like digital, you're scared about that, like what that
means?
Yeah,
I think, like, and I feel about that in general with everything is, like, I think photographs are a perfect example, whereas my mom has boxes of photographs, or, you know, and photo albums, yada yada. So nothing's going to happen to them. Unless, like, you store them improperly, or, you know.
Some kind of physical accident.
Yes, something has to happen. But what's nice is...
Something that doesn't happen regularly has to happen.
Yes. But my issue is, like, I think about this all the time. I look at my Facebook, I look at my Instagram, I look at all this stuff, and I go, okay, I should probably print out these pictures. Because at any...
No, you don't, because they're not quality enough for printouts to say that right now.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, just to have them in physical form, because I sit there and I go, okay, at any moment, like... Something could happen where every photo I've ever taken on, because I think every photo I've ever taken is either A, on my phone, on Facebook. It's in some way where it is kind of out of my hands. Like I dropped my phone and broke it.
Yeah.
Everything's just gone. That's it. Granted, I recovered everything, or I stored a backup, but that's what I'm saying. If I drop a photo album, it's fine. If I drop.
That depends what you drop it into.
Like, if I drop this computer in front of me, and it's like, everything's gone. I can't get it back.
Well, no. Like, you'll get it back. The hard drive's in there.
But that's my
fear. I get what you're saying.
Though. Yeah, but that's my fear. Oh, yeah, but like the whole magnet, like this, you know, I'm like, whatever. Like, you know, and that to me is my fear with physical media, not physical, digital media, excuse me, is I don't have it. It's
you don't feel like you don't feel like you're responsible for it anymore.
Yeah, that I don't even feel like I own it. Like if I like when I buy a game on Xbox Marketplace and I download.
Oh, you don't. You're licensing the right to play.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that's what is nice about. I also miss like you. I miss my friend buying a game and he just gives it to me. I don't have to buy it. Like I also miss that, which is that like, you know, you can kind of do that. Like me and my buddy do that, where we link our Xboxes together, so we share our libraries, and he works at GameStop. So,
there you go.
So like. But as well, I think that's what I miss is I miss owning, I miss my collection. I miss owning the game. I miss opening the box and putting the disc in a little bit. Like there is something a little romantic about it. You know what I mean? A little romantic. It's like this opening a box and like I remember stacking my collection. I put it like in ABC order. Like I know all that goofy stuff. Everyone does like with their Blu-ray collection and stuff. But I think as well, it's just. Having that access of I can have whatever game I want and I can put it somewhere, that is kind of, you know, I think I wouldn't be surprised if discs just go away in general.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, yeah, you have stuff on the client. They're actually dealing in, like, smartphones and stuff like now, too. Like, they'll, like, buy and resell that because they're trying to stay filled. The last time I was in a GameStop was over Black Friday, over, like, Thanksgiving break, because I knew I needed a DS because I'm going to be traveling a lot. I'm like, oh, I'll just get all the Pokemon games, play that. That'll keep me busy. They had a new DS coming out, like the brand new mini DS and 3DS coming out. It was going to be $100. I'm like, oh, awesome. $100 DS, like, get the games. I spent $200 max. Like, that's great because, like, that sale going on. I traded.
That's like Rick and Morty where it's like, I got my DSs.
And
like,
yeah.
If you buy, like, $50 gift cards, they're only
$120. Yeah, yeah. That was a big Target sale.
But, you know, he did that in real life. You know that, right? That's
yeah.
Like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's actually based on the
stuff. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Yeah. So, anyway. So I'm like, all right, cool. But I'm like, I know it's going to sell out because, like, so I'm like, I'm going to get up like right away when they open and then we drive over there. So I got up at like 5:30 to get there at 6.
Okay.
I ended up getting there a little bit late because I was having some car problems. So I got there like 10 minutes late. I walk in. I'm like, hey, can I get one of the new DSs? And like, I'm going to look around some games. I want you to hold it for me. Like, case. Because I see like other people in there, other people walking in. But not man. There's like three people in there and like people just left and like no people show up. And he's like, oh, we're already out. And I'm like, oh, I'm like, could you call any other GameStops and ask if they have one for me? Because, like, you know, there's other ones, like, 10 minutes away and stuff like that. He's like, I wouldn't bother. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, well, each store only got, like, 6 of them.
Jeez.
I'm like, this is the brand new base model 3DS. And each store only got 6? And you're on, it's into the front page of your Black Friday ad. And you have 6? Like, I get it. You're being a scumbag. Like, I get what the whole thing was. I get why they did it. But you're a scumbag.
I know GameStop. I've been in GameStops where, like, I ask if they have a game. Because, like, I remember back in old GameStop, like, years ago. You could walk, like, they kept the games in the boxes.
Mm-hmm.
Which, granted, is idiotic.
Well, they used to.
I remember they used to do that. Like, you used to open the box and the game was in there. I was like, wait a minute. Like, even when I was younger, I was like, this seems kind of dumb. Like, why are you going to do that? Like, I remember they changed that. And like they put them all like in the
damn, like, alphabetized. Yeah, yeah. Like, this, like, car- cupboard.
Like, I remember I've been in stores where I go, hey, do you have this game? They go, no, we don't have it. I go, you did not even look. He goes, I know we don't. I'm like, you know, I've bought all the games in this store. You know the exact quantity of that one game.
Well, I mean, someone else could have asked about it. That's true. I've been there.
But like, I mean,
do you have this card? No, we're all out.
Like,
you
in the moment.
Look. Yeah, I already served someone.
Like, in the moment, though, I was like, really? You can't just, like, turn around and be like, just do something to the point.
Well, they have smartphones back then and be like, oh, let me check real quick.
Yeah. Oh, like, they had, like, a computer. But, like, I do remember going to GameStop 2 and being, like, able to hang out in there, which is not the vibe I get anymore when I go
right
in. Like, it is no longer, like, this.
It feels, like, very, like, pressured and rushed.
Yeah. Oh, and, I like, they're trying to sell me so many things now. It is like when you go to GameStop, I go, okay, hey, can I have this game? They go, yep. Do you want to reserve anything? No. Are you sure? Yes. Do I get a membership? No. Are you sure?
Yes.
Do I get Game Informer? No.
Are you sure?
Yes. That's exactly what it is.
And then it's like, all right, it's like, now they ring up everything. Here's your total. Now, do you want to get 10% off by getting a pro card? Didn't I just tell you I didn't want a pro card?
Yeah, I just said that. I mean, I still have mine. But
well, I haven't had one in years.
I mean, now I don't. Yeah,
I have all my Game Informers like in a drawer under my bed.
But I know I have like 180,000 points I should spend on like something. But I mean,
I forgot about points. I don't think I ever spent my points either. But my account's done. So.
But to kind of like, you know, to look forward, you know, obviously.
Just keep going. I'm looking for something.
Yeah. Netflix is a good example of something where, like, you know, I might not have a DVD player in 5 years. I might not have any media player. I'm just going to have a streaming service. I might not have cable. I might just have it Netflix or Hulu or something. So, what do you, you know, do you see that with gaming? Like, I think Steam is the example. Could you see just everything being like Steam? Like, you know, you may not, maybe not even have, you just have some type of physical device that allows you.
Oh yeah, we've talked about this before that I mentioned. Then it's like in the future, it's gonna be built in your TV, or it's gonna be a small generic box, and everyone's gonna have a service. Instead of Microsoft having an own box, it's gonna be the Microsoft service, or it's gonna be the Ubisoft service, or it's gonna be the Activision service. And you pay a subscription like EA Access to get those games.
Yeah, to me, when I saw EA Access, I said, okay, this is where we're going. Like, to me, that is the most ingenious. Like, I hate EA a lot. They do a lot of things I despise. But I sat there, I said, EA Access. I said, what the heck is this? I get, he goes, $50 or 30, whatever it is. I think it's like 30 to 50. And you get access to like these 10 games. And it gets bigger every month. I'm like, that's genius.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Like, that's the best.
Get it, yeah, it's
the best deal. Like, me, my apartment just split it.
Yeah.
We had one Xbox. And so it was like $5. And I was like, oh my God. We just play whatever we want. Like, this is, we downloaded all these games. We're like, oh, let's just play. And I was like, that to me, I said, okay, this is where it's going to go.
It was a game changer.
Like, and Xbox, like, free games with gold.
And all now they have the Xbox Pass coming out now.
Oh my God, they do. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
They do. That is genius. Like, that's
what I'm saying. It's not genius. It's not original anymore. Yeah. But yeah, it's great. It's a great thing.
That
deals.
That is what's killing GameStop. That is where we're going. Right. It saddens me because I am going to miss getting game boxes and buying games at the store, but at the same time, like, you can't argue with, like, GameStop never sells games for like $5, like a new game. But GameStop would be like,
no one sells a new game for $5.
But I mean, like, Steam will have like Steam sales where you can buy.
That's
games.
Not a new game.
Not new games, but I mean, like, they're game.
Good games.
Like, they are deals that are shocking.
Yeah.
Like they are shocking. Like, I bought all the Civ 5 DLC, like that, and the 10 DLC packs. For $5, Mike.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's what I'm saying.
That's heinous. That should be illegal.
Now, let me pivot that. I've been scrambling trying to find this article because I didn't bookmark it and I didn't look up on this computer, so I can't look at my history. But this one games journalist whose name I don't know wrote an article asking if like it was essentially a survey of like ways Microsoft could come back in this generation.
Sure.
With like Project Scorpio and stuff like that. And the main question was, is it time now to go with the original design of the Xbox? Like, now that it's like Xbox One, now that it's like 3 years now?
I forget.
3 years roughly since it came out, and go discless and just go all digital downloads. And a majority of people still say no. They want physical downloads. They want physical discs. They don't believe they have the internet to download it, or the data caps that like will allow them to do that and play. Or just for whatever reason, a lot of people still want physical media. And I can understand why in some cases, but it's really hard to imagine that people don't believe that. Sure, you might have a time where it sucks for you because like it's all digital now and you don't have internet for that. But at some point, that doesn't force the cable companies or your internet service providers to then step up their program, because you're going to be switching to someone else who can give you that experience so that you can play your games.
Here's my thing. I think you have to look no further than Apple. I think Apple is a perfect example.
Oh, Apple is the company that forces everyone to do everything.
Yeah, and you said
no one had USB ports until Apple had USB ports.
Yes, yeah. And that's the thing. It's to me, it's like the Xbox can say, should we go discless? Everyone's gonna say no. Like, it's to me, even I would say no.
Yeah, people don't know what they want. You need to tell them to shut up and eat their meat. And
we talked,
like,
about that on the first episode.
Yeah,
where we were talking about like changes to gaming, and we go. And we decided people don't know what they want. I don't know what I want. Like, I'm not
gonna. I didn't know I needed Overwatch, so I got Overwatch.
Yeah, and the same here. And that's the difference. Is like Xbox can say, oh, should we go discless? Oh, should we do all the always online? Should we do all this stuff? And I was like, no. And I'm like, okay. I think Xbox should just go for it, because I think, because if you get it right, you're the first one that gets it right.
Yeah.
And I would rather Xbox come out and say, we're going discless. Everyone goes, ugh. And they go, yeah, but instead of having the disc tray and everything.
The console's cheaper because you don't have a disc reader. And the games are cheaper because they're only digital delivery.
And you can say, and we also put in like this much more power into it. We tripled the power output.
We use that space to put in more power.
Yeah, like this thing can now do whatever you want it to do. And like, I'll sit there and I'll go, man, I can't use discs anymore. Looks at my pile of two Xbox One discs.
But you have... But you have the old console to play those discs. Like, that's not even an argument. Like,
And I think as well, hopefully, that will force them to get rid of the whole, you have to put the disc in to play a game, because that's how I can't play half of my friend's games on, because they,
That's cheating, man. That's your own problem.
I don't have his discs. So if we can just get rid of that, that would be perfect. I can play all of his games. But I agree. I think if Xbox did do that, that would be a very big game changer. I would be very interested. I think that's something that they not, I don't know if they should do it, but if they do it, I think that'll be a very interesting conversation that people will be having. And I think that'll really change, because that might bring people, like, from the PlayStation
side.
Yeah, that might, you know, depending on how they do it. And I think they would have to do something to the point of where, like, if you buy the Scorpio, you know, all of your discs will still work. You know,
you can register your game somehow so that you have the data. Yeah. I'm sure they would do something like that.
Well, they'll probably just be like, okay, well, obviously you've played it before, so clearly you must. The Xbox might know.
I'm sure there'd be like a one-time verification or something.
Yeah, or you just have some type of code, or yeah, they'll probably send you a code for all your games that you have, and you say, put in this code, we'll know you have it. But I think that is an idea. I really like that idea.
So to wrap this kind of up, where do you stand on how do you think things are now with digital goods, and where do you think the future is?
I think right now people are going digital. I'm not buying discs anymore. I haven't seen you coming with a new disc at all since I've known you.
Not since Overwatch.
Yeah. And even my friends don't buy anymore. My friends just download games. I'm even thinking about, you know, building a PC in the future. So I mean, that's all digital as well. And I think that, yeah, I think that's where we're going. I think we are seeing the end of game discs. I mean, I saw the end of the instruction booklet. My heart was aching, but I'm over it. I'm over it now. But I think right now we're seeing it, and I think in five years, maybe not five. I think five's kind of quick. Do you think five? Like maybe.
I think in 5 years we'll be on like the cusp where like we're not the majority.
Gaming does move a bit slower.
We're not the majority yet, but it'll be like, all right, well now we're the technology's there, the adoption rate just isn't there yet because people are like,
so maybe like I think 5 to 10 years. Well, I think I know when I have children, I will not be going to a game
store. Oh, absolutely. And my sentiment's about the same. We're like, the biggest thing is that the people who make game discs, like not game makers, but the people who produce the physical discs, the publishers or the distributors who distribute the discs, or the Targets or GameStop specifically, which is a game store, they're gonna fight to make sure they're physical. Like, GameStop publishes their own games now, and you know they're only gonna be available to buy in a GameStop as a physical good because they need you to go to GameStop.
I agree.
So the biggest thing is always with any industry, whether it's radio, TV, TV to web, whatever, the previous guard is always fighting tooth and nail to keep what's theirs in the marketplace. I'll say,
5 to 10 years, trying to put this whole thing together. 5 to 10 years, you're turning on ESPN, you're watching Overwatch 2 highlights, whatever, you know, whoever's going on.
Destiny 2.
You're watching video game highlights right next to football and baseball, and you're not turning on, I don't think you're turning on your Xbox, you're turning on your device.
You're just turning on your TV. You're just turning on your TV.
You're turning on your TV, you're going to your gaming service, which is, you know, I think everyone will be together on it. You're going to your gaming service, and you're jacking in with your little plug into your head.
We're going to Soda Online?
Yeah. But yeah, I think that's what's going to happen. I think you're not going to have this. You're going to be, I think gaming will finally be a part of the general populace culture.
And then we get Video Game High School.
And then the VGHS becomes reality. So
I think it's a good note to end it on.
I would agree. If you have your own opinions of what you think, do you like discs? Do you hate discs? Do you hope to see ESPN, gaming ESPN? Let us know in the comment section down below. And you will not find this episode on iTunes because...
Well, they already listened to it.
That's true.
But where can they find us at?
You can find us on Twitter. We are now going to start doing a bit more social media at... God, YEN Network. It's spelled weird.
Okay. What's your Twitter at?
I'm at The Red Baron.
And I'm at The Mighty Mike.
And
links in the description.
And Facebook pages go be coming up.
Everything is in the description. We're working on.
Yeah, everything's coming together. We're going to do a bit more of that. But thank you for listening, guys. And we'll see you on the next episode.
Sound the power down.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.